Hey, good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 The Source. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne, breaking it down for you every Tuesday morning. Case Kiefer's off today, which means Taylor and I get to do something we've wanted to do for about 6-7 weeks on the show, and that's talk UNLV football. Basketball seemingly always in the news. We had the tournament. Then we had Mike Mosier leaving to Washington, Justin Hudson leaving back to San Diego State, and now no UNLV basketball news. Well, there might be some.
I hate to do cut this to off. You, go Ray, ahead, after we've been so excited about this, but do need to go back on something. Mosier to Washington is not a done deal. Nothing can be a done deal until he graduates this summer, because in order to take advantage of the – it's not a loophole. It's like a rule, but people treat it as a loophole to be able to play your final year somewhere else. But he visited both Washington and Oregon this past weekend. And there are rumors that that if a spot would open up, that Arizona could be in the mix. But most likely, it's most likely still Washington. But just wanted to throw that out there, that that's not a done deal entirely.
Okay,
that's it for the basketball portion.
Stand corrected.
I promise.
Because as you're saying that, I said, "Oh shucks, Wednesday was signing day, and UNLV got to it."
Well, we talked about them last week.
Okay,
we talked about DeVille and Kendall and how we're bringing in more Smiths. And like I said, I think right now my odds-on favorite for the starting point guard early next year would probably be DeVille Smith.
Freshman or the
junior? He's the JUCO.
Okay.
JUCO out of Mississippi. He's really fast. I think he's the kind of guy that Dave would like running that spot.
He reminds me of Pierre Jackson. I said it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pierre Jackson's such a like he's a small guy, but Pierre Jackson's like a big dude. DeVille is pretty small.
I saw
both in height and just stature.
Well, Pierre Jackson's small though.
Well, he's short, but he's like.
He's built. Well. I saw him dominate Avery Bradley when both were seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Just to throw that out there.
And Pierre's going to be – I think I just saw somebody tweeting about this too. Pierre's going to be like just a dog in a lot of these workouts. Like he's the type of guy that, you know, some of the top point guards, when they're, you know, working out for NBA teams, you don't really want to go against him. Like he's not somebody who's in the upper echelon of like possibly being drafted and all that, but he's just somebody that you don't want to see because he makes people work. Like he's good.
He's good. He's real good.
He's real good.
And he's a great passer, too. Let me ask you this question before we get to UNLV football. Could you do a story on this or find me the answer? Talk to the UNLV equipment guy. I want to find out how the last names are going to look on the jerseys next year.
Yeah.
That's
something I think I touched on last week, too, where it's talking about, at least on Twitter, Kendall Smith, who's the freshman coming out of California, has taken up with the popular thing at UNLV to do these days, mm-hmm. and gone with the hyphenated last mm-hmm. name. So at least on Twitter, he's Kendall Clay Smith. So if he went with that, that would take care of that. There's one uh-huh. out the door. So you've got a Clay Smith. Then you've just got – I assume it would just be an R Smith, like an R period uh-huh. Smith, and then a D period Smith. I'm not sure if they've even decided that. That's interesting. I could call up Rocky.
That would be a good story. Seriously, quick. Let me ask you this. The hyphenated part is the – your mother's maiden name, the second or the first part of the hyphen?
I'm not sure if there's an official rule on that.
Because I would be...
This actually came up over the weekend, too, talking with friends.
Raymond Colasanti Brewer or Brewer Colasanti?
I think it depends. I honestly don't know if that's like a hard and fast or if it's just kind of what you... Because
mm-hmm.
I think like Sosa Lopez sounds stranger, more strange than Lopez Sosa.
It sounds stranger to me. You could be grammatically on the fence here with us. LasVegasSun.com sports.
Jones Dijon. Yeah, I don't know. But I have no experience with that, so I don't know. I really don't know. I'd be either Burn Gulager or Gulager Burn.
I like
there's not a winning combination.
Yes.
That's all bad.
Yes. LasVegasSun.com sports talk every Tuesday, 91.5 KUNV, The Source. In fact, every morning at 7 a.m. during the week, our news gatherers at The Sun are on the 91.5 airways talking their beat. We love doing it for you folks. And right now we're talking UNLV football. The Rebels finished off spring practice a week and a half ago. And Adonis Smith looked as good as advertised, and I think UNLV, despite losing Bradley Randall, who entered this week's draft early for I don't know why still. I think they're going to be able to run the rock. I think Smith and Cornett might be the best 1-2 punch in the Mountain West. I said it, and I'll stand behind it.
There's a lot of evidence for that. And as far as, you know, Tim Cornett's kind of already a known he's a known guy. You know what you're getting from him when you look at his style. He's very aggressive. He's big. He was mixing it up in some of the fights, like the last regular practice, the Wednesday before the Friday showcase. And I wrote a little bit about this. They ended the practice with it's essentially a 2-on-1 drill where two offensive players are trying to keep a ball carrier protected from a defensive guy, and it's essentially just the offense beats up on the defense, except for the one out of four times when they get through. It gets a lot of the like blood boiling between the two sides, and one time a fight like kind of broke out, and Tim, who's standing there like in his jersey and whatever, but no pads because he sat out like this entire spring after surgery, he's like just mixing it up with everybody else. Like he is just raring to go. I think he definitely misses being on the field, and that's probably going to show up early in camp. Hopefully tempers that and kind of waits for the season, because they're going to need him. They absolutely need both of those guys. Randall was, I think, a nice surprise, a good change of pace, kind of a bowling ball who was faster than he looked last year, and he worked well in that backup role. Nobody entirely understands why he decided to leave early, but you know, more power to him. He's getting his degree and moving on.
Do you think guy gets a camp invite?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay,
maybe. And there's a chance. But it's not, you know, I don't expect that to turn into anything. But as far as UNLV is concerned, they needed that backup spot. I think Randall saw he was probably going to be the third string because Adonis comes in, transfer from Northwestern. He's got a similar build to Cornett, similar ability as far as being like a near top line guy. I think those two together, it's the same way I felt about last year's team. It has to be with the run. If they're going to have success, it's basically Nick Sherry throwing well enough that they can keep running the ball.
Here's two questions for me. And I saw a few spring practices. So do you think Adonis Smith might beat out Tim Cornett?
No.
No. Okay.
I do not.
Okay. And secondly, for me, you talked about the importance of the offense. For me, it starts up front. The offensive line needs to A, be healthy, and be productive. I think last year, Sherry was on his butt way too much.
Yeah,
especially the Minnesota game when everybody was healthy.
And that's not all on up front. There were plenty of times, especially early in the year, in Minnesota he held the ball way too long. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, and I just think if that group could be healthy and consistent, when we got guys switching spots on the line, new guys coming in. It doesn't help the run game. It doesn't help the pass game. And I think the offense with new coordinator, mm-hmm. Rosenbaum.
you had to do was repeat what I said, yeah. And you still went elsewhere.
I knew.
Roland Furter. Have you ever seen the movie Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Hey, Roland Furter.
The guy from Home Alone, right? Yeah.
What? No.
No. The pitching about? Coach was the criminal from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Sticky Bandit.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Rosenbugger.
Hot ice. You heat up. Yeah. Anyway, distracted. Yes. And the offensive line is big, but I don't think you can't expect any consistency there as of today, because you're replacing Boyko, your left tackle, missed all of spring. So the tackles are pretty much set. Other than that, he's going to be back from the injury. At least the sense I get, they're not concerned about him at all. So Boyko on the left, Jefferson on the right, Waterman at center, and then you've got the real battles are at the guard spots. And at one, it's listed the first two deep. The right guard, I think it is listed with two starters, and that's Brian Roth and Nick Gastrain. And Gastrain is a guy who I've been kind of interested in this year. He had a chance to actually be something at tight end last year, and then he broke his foot. Actually, I don't remember if it was a broken foot. He had like a leg injury, missed about the first half of the year, came back, and just didn't really do much offensively. And so they were looking at other options for him. He still may be like a fullback kind of thing. And so, but I'm just interested in that. Brian Roth is somebody who Hauk said was really impressive in the spring. And then your boy Ron Scoggins.
Scoggy!
On the other side. But I think those guard spots, even the, I think it's Scoggins and Overand on the other side, like those are going to be where the battles are at as far as playing time. And just, I agree, if you can find somebody in August that you're happy with, same five starting line would be great. Because last year you brought them all back, but then you just had to move everybody around. Boyko missed most of the year, and it was a bit of a disaster.
Here's my thing. I feel – okay, everybody knows I went to UNLV and that I'm a UNLV homer of sorts. But I went to that camp in Ely, and I was so impressed with not only the way they played, but just the confidence they had that they were going to have a successful season – that I wrote that I thought this was the year everything broke. And
well, in a manner of speaking, it did.
It did break. It broke into pieces. But and UNLV was better. They were competitive. They were in games. You know, if they win Minnesota, Northern Arizona, and Reno, we're talking a whole different thing. Games they arguably should have won. And I just feel like now I've already used that credit up. I can never again write, I think this year is going to be different, and here's why. Because I really thought last year was going to be different. I saw the players liking each other. I saw the players having confidence. I saw the offense looking great with this tall, big-armed quarterback, Nick Sherry. Now, I was a little tricked because he was a freshman, and freshmen make mistakes, and you couldn't say he was going to lead to the promised land. He wasn't going to be Phillip Rivers at NC State. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now
– what a random comparison.
Well, four-year starter that, okay. that led him to bowl games four straight years.
Gotcha.
But I feel like I can never say UNLV is going to break the streak, the losing streak, or go to a bowl or be good because I've already bought that credit up. I can't say that every year because the fans are going to be like, dude, you said that last year. Look what happened. Yeah. They won two games.
So what do you feel right now about this upcoming year?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Well,
do you not know what to say because you feel optimistic about it again and you just don't want to say that?
No. Well, here's the deal. It's tough to feel optimistic because if you look strictly at the body of work of spring practice, they had so many pieces out.
Yeah, and it's also spring practice.
Well, I know, but you could still kind of get your pulse. I mean, a lot of
I have a hard time reading too much into it with UNLV because if you get, you know, if the offense is doing great, well, you say, well, that's because they're going against the UNLV defense.
And the UNLV defense is the problem. Always has been, always will be. Can't stop a nosebleed. That's the honest to God truth.
Yeah.
And if UNLV is going to win six games or go to a bowl game or have
again,
any kind of...
Get six games out of your head.
What's wrong with that?
Is it impossible? No. Is it even remotely likely? No.
Well, what are we shooting for? Four wins? The whole.
Well, who's we?
We is in a conversation here. What are we? Is four wins going to be the?
I think four wins would be huge. Just like I thought four wins would have been huge last year.
Does four wins keep the job of the head coach?
Maybe. Depends on the four. Yeah. You know, if at Reno's in there, that's huge.
Oh man, that is a weird. Don't ever do that again.
You know, if like Arizona or Minnesota were on there, that would be big.
Any win away from Sam Boyd Stadium, I think,
enormous.
Qualifies as big.
Yeah.
Okay, they've won like once on the road since like 08, I think.
It's amazing. Like, I forget just how bad that streak is. Like, it's really bad.
I don't know because – and I think we've talked about this before, but UNLV basketball not solid on the road either. And it's
oh yeah, what you've got a theory that there's just something that
do they have a contract with like Marriott? Stay away from the Marriott if that's what it is.
They are mostly staying at Marriott. Yes.
Transfer to like Hampton Inn or mix
Hampton
it up a little.
Inn.
You got the free breakfast with the waffle makers. I don't know. I mean, something they're doing is not working out. Leave a day earlier. Fly a different.
Actually,
airline.
I think football is usually like at a Hilton, and then basketball is at a Marriott.
I know their home game is Eastside Cannery.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
which I'm sure they get a good rate, but it's just weird when you're sitting there at Eastside Cannery playing Pie Gow on game day, and you see, like, football players walking through, and you're like, boy, isn't that Nick Sherry? Doesn't he have a game in, like, 2.5 hours? And I'm like, oh, that's right. They stay there and they just bus right in.
You know? You should just hop on the bus with them.
Yeah. And listen, getting to Sam Boyd Stadium on a game day is easy. It's not like getting
to. I thought you were about to say it's hard. You haven't gone other places.
It's not like going to a Penn State game where you're stuck on the road for three hours.
I'm sure that's bad. Yeah.
But
and I'm great. As someone who has to make that commute, you know, like 8 times a year, I'm grateful for that part of it.
It's awesome.
It's great.
It's like an hour before tip off or kickoff, you leave and you just fly right in.
Yep. There with 30 minutes to spare.
Yeah, it's great. Sometimes, and I know UNLV now is in the news, and this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, and it looks like the potential, you know, event center / UNLV football home isn't going to happen, at least not in this cycle.
I think they've put – the timeline seems to be pushed back, and all the news out of it lately is pretty bad.
It's been
at least is not positive.
Yeah, but I'm thinking – Sam Boyd Stadium is what it is.
Weren't you not long ago telling me that the facility would change everything? Sam Boyd is the only thing holding them back.
The facility would change everything, no doubt about it. But now that we have Sam Boyd, we have to love it, right? We got to put some makeup and a dress on it.
Who just tried to trade his starting quarterback, and now that it fell through,
I love Mark
Sanchez.
Like,
I love, yes.
Sign him to a longer deal. No, listen. It's all I know. Okay, born and raised here. I could talk about going down to the old Silver Bowl and watching PCAA games, you know, UNLV beating the Pacific Tigers.
Pacific Coast Athletic Association. Is that
maybe,
what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it's just, that's Vegas football. Now, somebody, I don't know. I could talk forever about this. Somebody is going to figure out how to win with UNLV football.
And now this is contradicting yourself again. You said that if Bobby can't do it, nobody can.
And I'm on record.
You've said that several times. And Case and I are on record telling you that's it. There's many words I would use. Few of them radio. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Why him? We're asking the same question. Why Bobby?
Bobby is a proven winner
at Montana.
Better than any. Listen. Here's the deal. You get rid of Bobby, and I'm not saying keep him by any stretch of the imagination. You get rid of Bobby at the end of this year, what you've turned into now is a cycle where every 3 to 4 years you bring in a new coach. And you know what? You're not changing anything. You're just trying to get somebody else with a different set of eyes to try to solve the same problem. You're giving them the same budget, which UNLV Athletics is cutting. That's not breaking news. You've got the same assistant coaches that are making poor salaries. You pay for what you get, and you still have the stadium, which is all I know, and it's a decent place for me as Las Vegas, but you ain't going to win there as a problem. And Sanford said that when he left. He complained
about Sanford said a lot of things.
But what I'm saying is that if you get rid of Bobby, which if you've won 4 or 5 games in 4 years, you deserve to lose your job. I'm not defending him. But you kind of have the same recycled problems. Somewhere you're going to have to say, not only are we going to bring in a new coach, but we're going to put some new money into the program.
Yeah. And I like your mentality of attacking it systemically as opposed to just, you know, like with one. But it doesn't explain to me why you ever thought that.
And I'll stand by that comment. When Bobby gets fired, I'm going to lead with that comment in my column.
You're talking about two different things. I agree with everything you just said about how UNLV needs to attack its problem on the football field and about solving that, but that doesn't explain why you ever thought or still think that if Bobby can't do it, no one can.
Because
he's won 6 games in 3 years.
I know, but the first 2 years, the schedule was unbearable. At Wisconsin, at West Virginia, at
well, those
TCU,
were losses anyway.
BYU,
what about your
Utah
conference games? What about now, your one double A games that
those
he's
are,
lost
those
two
are,
of them?
Listen, TB, I'm not making excuses. Southern Utah, I wrote, was the season's over, black eye on the program, worst loss ever, and they came back and they did it again to Northern Arizona. At home, inexcusable. It shows where the program's at. No doubt about it. The worst night of my life, that Northern Arizona game.
That was the worst?
Oh, I took Nicholas to his first game that day. Maybe it was my fault.
Oh, man, you can't undo the
game. My kid's born. Steelers play Sunday Night Football against the Saints. We watched the game in the hospital room. Steelers lose. that year. Steelers make the Super Bowl. Watch the Super Bowl
with my son. This Steelers is not lose. Speaking well of Nicholas.
Yeah. First UNLV game. Rebels lose. Haven't taken him to a hoop game.
Well, they say you would.
What if I would have said Fresno game? Rebels lose.
That would have been great. Oh, man, if it's first.
Man, but now you almost have to, like, take him to a Patsy or something so that you make sure that you don't – like, you can't take him to, like, Laverne, San Diego State.
When UNLV plays Laverne or whatever, I'm there. We are there. Front row. Popcorn.
Yeah, there you go.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UNLV football.
I'm surprised you let it go so long before taking him to a football game. And he was, what, 2-plus
then? Well, he was born to Bobby's first season, TCU Saturday. Wife went into labor at halftime of the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wait,
were you? Oh, that's right. I've heard this story. Yeah. You were up in the press box.
A press box. I just, like, packed up my stuff and went home, finished my story, and then I sent Kiefer and Green an email. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to be offline for a few hours.
I got some things are happening.
Yeah. You know, I need a pause for the cause.
Yeah.
And then he was, well, one during the SEU disaster year.
During the SEU.
Yeah, SEU disaster is what I call
the
it.
The SEU
disaster. Yeah, gotcha. So. And listen, why you could go back, and we're going to write this between you and I at least 10 times before the season kicks off in Minnesota next year. UNLV left a lot of wins on the table last year.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. And it was a product of having a team. Listen, when you're a loser, becoming a winner is just not like, oh, I'm going to win. When you lose and all you know is how to lose and you brace for losing, it's tough to switch over to win. Reno came out fired up, dominated the first half, double-digit lead, 3-touchdown lead. And then the second half, they came out prepared to lose. Not thinking, how do we close and win this game, but how are we going to lose this game? And I think that was what happened.
I think it's similar. I think they more thought, like, how do we not lose this?
That's what I meant.
As opposed to how do we win?
Amen.
I still think you can probably blame the loss on the basketball program, because at halftime was when the news about Jalon Kendrick broke. Everything was going well until that. Basketball just swoops in and takes all the glory again.
My favorite part is UNLV takes, like, I don't know. I remember the score. It might have been 28-7 against Reno. They scored that third touch. They scored to go up 3 possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I look over to the UNLV sideline, and I'll never forget this, but one of the assistants is just pointing and screaming and yelling at the UNR bench. And I'm like, oh, dude, what are you doing? It's like me playing a pickup game. You don't talk crap in the second quarter, right?
Well, you wait till you do.
I do. But you wait till the end of the game to start running your mouth. You know, you don't want to. And I just like, I can't believe that this has happened. I saw it, and I'm like, boy, he's going to probably regret this.
I remember talking to your old friend, Adam Hill, at halftime of that game, just saying, man, it's going to be interesting to see how they lose this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went ahead and did it. Actually, rather quickly let Reno back in.
It was just that entire second half, everybody in that stadium, including the players on both teams, knew what was
happening.
Yeah. And it was just like, here we
go. And you're right. That's just that's part of a larger issue with the program. But that's something. Am I wrong that ultimately falls on Bobby?
Oh, without a doubt. And that was probably the first time when I said, well, maybe Brewers, if Bobby can't get it done, nobody can comment, was a little crazy. Because
did you in your head refer to yourself as Brewer?
No, but I might have. Who knows? But the play calling there and how conservative UNLV got, I mean, I think he was thinking, okay, we got the momentum. Let's pick up some first downs on the ground, run some clock. But what happened was 3-and-out punt, touchdown, boop, 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 done.
Yeah.
And that's when I said right away, UNLV, the play calling, it just didn't work. I understand the first series trying to run some clock, get a first down, but when you go 3-and-out, You gotta keep putting the pressure on. You can't say it's like there was this fight with De La Hoya, and I can't remember who it was back in the day, but De La Hoya dominated rounds 1 through 9. Rounds 10, 11, and 12, Taylor didn't do anything, lost the decision. Because why? He was resting on that big lead, didn't want to take a risk. Yeah. And I think even if you talk to Bobby, if Bobby was sitting right here in Case's seat, which is your seat because you're in Case's seat, he would say the same thing. He probably – if you ask him his three toughest days as the UNLV coach, he would probably say in no order, SEU loss, Northern Arizona loss, Reno loss. And I think he'd put the Reno loss right there because UNLV hasn't beaten them in 7 years, longest streak in the canon history. And just the way he gave that game away, that was not the Bobby that was the stud at Montana who won a lot of games. Even though it was Montana, even though it was a lower level, this was a coach that went out there and out-coached and outperformed and won games, and he lost that touch. And he needs to get that back for August. Humble opinion. That's all. I'm an opinion giver. That's all I got
to
say.
No, I just kind of wanted to spin it forward a little bit.
And his brother, Tim, he's got to find 11 guys that could tackle.
Oh, they'd start with like four or five.
One guy that could tackle.
Especially since he's, you know, in the secondary, and that's where most of the issues last year were at. A couple other things just from spring and the end of meeting or end of spring meeting with Bobby. Talked about how Troy Hawthorne is probably going to have some packages specifically for him. So there could be, you know, let's say it's the second quarter, tie game, just whatever, where for an entire series you're bringing Hawthorne in, and it's going to be more of an option-based, like, running attack out of that. So, you know, I think some people it's a somewhat divisive thing as far as whether you think it's worthwhile to, like, essentially bench your quarterback for series at a time. I don't know really where I stand on it. It's just, to me, it's a results-based thing. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you know, don't stick to it just because you said you were going to, kind of thing. But I'm curious to see what the kid can do.
Well, and I am too, and part of the reason why is because Troy Hawthorne dominated.
Yeah.
Dominated.
By the way, Troy Hawthorne is the redshirt freshman quarterback from Phoenix, I believe.
And Taxi Squad last year was awesome. He was their offensive MVP, wasn't he?
Oh, scout team.
Scout team.
I've never heard it called Taxi Squad.
Okay, scout team.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
Yeah.
And now I don't know if that was a product of UNLV having a very bad
exactly
defense.
I mean, you're talking about the second team UNLV defense.
But I think he's earned an opportunity to go out there and change it up a little bit. Now, do I worry he's a freshman getting his first licks in? And the room for error, there is none. Bobby's got to play every game like it's his last.
Yeah, and that's actually why if something were to happen to Sherry, Caleb Herring would most likely be like a long-term backup because Bobby said he didn't want to – you know, you don't want to have to put a freshman at quarterback if you don't have to. Yeah. So if that were to happen, but some things for Hawthorne, some changes along the offensive line, and I'm just curious to see when everybody's healthy, how they look come August.
I'm optimistic as usual. The sports books will post a over-under at 2 and 2.5. I'll bet at the day it's posted over – because that's the type of guy I am. I don't learn. And speaking of not learning, I'll be back next week to talk the same. Thanks for listening, folks. 91.5.